Amen. That's a good song based on a good verse. Casting all your cares upon Him. Why should we do that? For He cares for us. That doesn't soothe your heart and pull you up toward prayer. Not many promises that will. And to know that God cares for us. What is man? All right, let's take our Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 7, making our way ever so slowly, taking a thought and trying to expound upon it a little bit, make us think about these words that Jesus gave. Matthew 7, verse 2 for this evening. He tells us, beginning there, "Judge not, that ye be not judged. With what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again." And we find here that God is giving us, through the Lord Jesus, another reason for us not to judge other people, to have a critical eye, a condemning spirit. And the reason that He's giving here is that when you do that, you set your own standard of judgment. And that's kind of you invariably are raising the bar in terms of what the Lord's going to do in our own lives and those things. Now, when we look at these words, it says, "And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again." Now, we don't use that word "meet" that way very often. In terms of, maybe we talk about He meted out some punishment to him. You know, we might use it in that type of phrase. But is there something in the verse that says, okay, just by the way that the word is used, there's another word, there's another synonym that's given for it. You see what is that synonym? Measure. Correct. And so it helps you as you read through that. If you say, "And with what measure you meet," as you go through that, "it shall be measured to you." And so you can just tell from this. It's actually the same word in Greek, and so it's just pointing and putting it back to the same idea there that's going back and forth. So what you measure out to people, so we're going to say, I'm going to pass out take some cups here, and we'll measure them out and hand them, and the measure that I give towards other people, and I'm passing out, is the very thing that God's going to use and say, okay, I'm going to use that measuring stick, and I'm going to come out and measure to you. And it's not talking necessarily about receiving people. So if I'm judgmental and critical of other people are going to be critical and judgmental of me. Well, that is true. But that's not the limit of these words here. He is talking about the judgment before the Lord. We need to think through what this means for us as believers. If there's a subject that makes me pause and think more and delight with happiness at the same time, step back in awe and wonder, and that is the subject of the justice of God. You may think, okay, God's going to be just. But when He metes out His justice, our mouths are going to go, "What? You worked that out perfectly to fit that circumstance and that situation." And God, He delights in doing that. I think the example for that is Solomon. He gave the wisdom of God was in him. So it doesn't talk about the wisdom of Solomon in that passage. It says the wisdom of God was in him to mete out judgment. So what he did there was a display of the wisdom of God that he's going to display in judgment. So that he's going to be able to parse through everything and be able to demonstrate, and when you look at that story of the woman who, she said story here, and how God was able to just, in the wisdom that He gave to Solomon, to pierce through that and make it very clear, this is the mother, this is not, and the one who was trying to do wicked was shamed, and the one who was righteous was rewarded and honored. So there's this aspect. So when I look at the standard of God's justice over and over and over again, in fact, this might be, I don't know if you go through the Bible, and as you read every year, if you look for a specific theme. I know some people that do that. They look for several different themes that you're looking at all year long. This this is one I would love to do. I say, where is it? And because this seems like a comprehensive topic of the wisdom of God. Psalm 7:15 says, "He made a pit and digged it, and has fallen into the ditch which he has made. His mischief shall return on his own head. His violent dealing shall come down upon his own pate." That's the way God orchestrates when he says, okay, I'm going to have to bring judgment on this person. I'm going to have to bring, and the Bible talks about him, he brings down every high look, which is always just a powerful statement. It's kind of stuck with me since I read it in Job. Every time that someone, like whack-a-mole, they go, "I'm God." God says, my job as God is to bring down every high. And he's really good at the game of whack-a-mole. And we're really good at, we need to humble ourselves before him. Every proud look, every high thing that we exalt ourselves, God has to bring us low, and he will. And he can do that for 6 billion people. And oftentimes, the tool, the measurement of what he does is he brings upon us what we have done. I'm trying to think of which, I've got 10 different verses here. The wickedness pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. Let destruction come upon him unawares. Let his net that he hath hid catch himself. And into the very destruction let him fall. As for the head of those that compass me about, let mischief of their own lips cover them. Let the wicked fall in their own nets, where whilst that I withal escape. Think of the different examples. Haman hung on the gallows that he built for Mordecai. Let me see here. I've got others, but I'll bring those in here in just a moment. Proverbs 5, his own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his own sin. Whoso diggeth a pit shall fall out therein. Whoso rolleth a stone, it will return upon him. Even I and Job have seen they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. So there's an aspect that we talk about. This is the law of sowing. That what you sow in this life, if you don't reap it in this life, you're going to reap it at the judgment seat. And so this is the aspect he's saying, you're going to be held to a standard. Now, this same type of idea is seen all throughout the scriptures, and the fact that many of God's battles are won by the men who came up to do wickedness. They turned their sword on each other. So they all died, but it was at their own hand. We saw that on Sunday. You think about Gideon, you think about the Philistines who attacked Saul, you think about Ammon and Moab, and when they against Jehoshaphat, all these are all examples of self-slaughter. Haggai 2:20 says, "I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms, I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the heathen, every one by the sword of his brother." Think about the men who conspired against Daniel, throw him in the lion's den. What was the fate of those men? But to be thrown in the lion's den. Yeah. You think about the brothers of Joseph, and they said, "Oh, we saw the anguish of his soul, and we hardened our hearts. And now we're sitting in a jail cell, and no one's listening to our anguish." They knew that what they had sown, they had reaped. Jacob deceived his father to get the blessing, and his own sons would deceive him in the death of Joseph. Pharaoh killed the sons of Israel by drowning them, and God drowns his army in the sea. And kills his firstborn. They did not keep the Sabbaths of the land, so God says you're going to keep the Sabbaths out of the land. And the exact amount of time that they were out of the in the land, they didn't keep the Sabbath, exactly the amount of years that they're going to have away from it. Just amazing. God does everything perfectly balanced. Adonai Bezek. I know he's one of your favorite kings in the Bible and judges. He says, 70 years, 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 under my table. As I have done, so God hath requited me. And they cut off his thumbs, and they cut off his toes. God often has a word. If what you have done to others, his standard of justice, over and over and over again. Zechariah 1:6, like as the Lord of hosts hath thought to do unto us according to our ways and according to our doings, so he hath dealt with us. Yeah. He is just. In the law, in Deuteronomy 19, when a man makes false witness, if you're making a false witness against someone who's at the death penalty, and you were saying, yeah, I saw him murder that guy, and it comes out that you were just making it up, he says, whatever the punishment was going to be, for the trial of what you thought was going to happen to them, that's what has to happen to the person who bears false witness. What you thought to do to another is done to you. All these examples are on the negative side of things, but you know what? The Bible uses this idea of measuring and meat in several positive ways too. We see it in this place about judgment, but Mark chapter 4 says, take heed to what you hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. So this principle is not just in this area. This is going across all the aspects. How you come to hear the word of God. Yeah. And if you have a heart to receive what God says, God will give you more. Yeah. He'll give you what you come to expect. Luke chapter 6, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured. In the principle of giving, and you do what you do for others. We are constantly in our lives sowing. Yeah. Sowing, sowing, sowing. And so, when we come to this passage, what does this mean? With what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. I struggle with this a little bit, trying to think through the different possibilities. So because I know that if I have a judgmental spirit, then I'm filled up with pride, and I'm like, oh, well, I can't stand that person, and then I put them down. Does that mean that in my sinful response that Jesus is going to judge me with a sinful response as well? I start thinking about that. How does that work? You know, he's going to be just in what he's going to do. I judge someone unfairly. He's not going to judge me unfairly. I think there's an aspect when we think about these things, some other verses of Scripture that can come in and help us. Romans chapter 2, verse 1 says, therefore, thou art inexcusable, man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For that wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doeth the same things. So, you know, this happens. I judge someone else for not being careful enough with their words. Yeah, you know, it just didn't sit well with how. I mean, yeah, of course, I know I was doing wrong, but they weren't really nice about it. Their tone wasn't very good. You know, and we can start nitpicking the other person, and not rather than dealing with myself. Well, then God's going to be really careful to make sure, am I careful when I put in that situation and the shoe is reversed, God says, this is what you expected of other people. And here you fell short of what you wanted from others. You condemn yourself. And so God's going to be able to hold up the standard and says, okay, this is the standard you're holding across the line here. Here it goes to your own. I might judge someone else for being flippant with God's word. They're just not taking that passage very seriously. Is there any passage I'm not taking very seriously? There's an aspect that it's going to come across these things. You know, interesting, we had a conversation today, you know, I made a comment, just a passing comment, I said, well, that person, they've got some real strong opinions about those things, you know? And they said, the person responded, like we all do. And I was like, yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's a good way to think through and realize, I have to see myself in this picture. We're going to look at the next verses later to come here about the mote in my own eye. Think about James chapter 3, verse 1. My brethren, be not many masters. Ready to stand up. Oh yeah, I'm ready to teach. I'm ready to lead. I'm ready to be out front. He says, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Why would we receive the greater condemnation for being a teacher?
More responsibility.
More responsibility. There's an example aspect. There's also an aspect, if you're teaching people, then you already have, you're saying, this is the line that we're supposed to live by, everybody. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 12, he says, he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whom as much is given, of him much shall be required. So you've got the knowledge. You know the standard. You're teaching others. Then you're going to be held to be held accountable to that standard. The reality is, every proud person breaks their own standards. And there's no exception to that. When we get filled up with pride, the very aspect of that is going to be that we become blind to our own. Pride blinds us to acknowledging our own sin. And so this is where it comes in. This is probably one of the most sobering words. It's written to believers. That we're going to stand before the Lord. We're going to give a word, an account of ourselves to God, and he's going to hold up our actions and say, how does this measure out with how you judge other people? Because you recognize that you know the truth. We've got to live by it. There's an aspect to all these paths. This whole passage is pushing us towards, I believe, the words here that tell us, thou hypocrite, first cast a beam out of thine own eye. We really, really have got to come to a place of humility. And we're going to talk about this. I think it's somewhat funny. You think, I'm ready to sign up. I'm a blind man. I'm going to become an optometrist. I'm ready to work. Think about what that means for anybody. That's not cool. So many times we get into marriages, we get into close relationships, and we can spot a mile away the sin of somebody else. We can certainly let them know. And yet we are completely blinded to the fact that we are breaking those things. Maybe not always in the exact same way, but maybe in a little different slant or a different angle. But we're falling short of what God's wanting. And we've got to have the humility that says, when I get a clear view of myself and I see how much my flesh falls down before the Lord, and I can say like Job, I am vile. That cuts the knees out so that we don't stand up and look down our nose at anybody else. There's a humility that comes into this. And God says if we'll judge ourselves, we will not be judged. And so it really sets before us quite an important aspect. May the Lord help us to walk in humility and see ourselves before him, the true judge. All right. We'll go ahead. No awards to pass out here this evening, so we'll go ahead and dismiss for our time of prayer in here, and excited about our RU program in the back.
Good evening again. Who has a prayer or a praise or a prayer request? I'll get it out here in a minute. Yes, Dan.
Please keep Jim and Greg in prayer. Brother Wallace in the hospital still in Joplin. They are pretty sure he's got cancer, but they love the severity.
Is that Greg?
Greg, G-R-E-G-G.
Okay. answer?
Yes. And good old days of prayer next week.
Okay. Yes, April?
Pray for J.Y.D.N. Davis. Our graduate with his dad, I don't know all the details, but I know he was in an accident. It broke a couple of ribs back and he had to have surgery to turn his spine. As of right now, as of this point, he's has a little bit of the waist down. I don't know his exact age, all the same, so I can see him in the county maybe, at oldest. So yeah, just keep looking at the curves and the brain through this. Trying to do the best, but I'll actually get you back.
Did you say he's a little bit?
I'm feeling the waist down, it's Jaden Davis.
Jaden Davis.
Jaden Davis, graduated with his dad, Chris.
See, we saw Art Grigsby today, and he said Lynn Brown was having, they took him to KU last night. He was having seizures, one right after the other. So Lynn is epileptic, has been for years, so I used to go to church here, so you might keep them in prayer. Lynn and Melissa.
Vera Norris is doing radiation now. Tongue cancer. Pray for her.
Vera Norris. But on a side note, Art looked like he was doing great, so praise the Lord for that. He must eat at Wendy's a lot because they pretty well knew what he wanted exactly. Yes. I remember the family of Joyce Woods, not to be confused with Wood. She passed away, and so her service was to get a day. Roanne went to it, said that the gentleman that spoke there gave a clear gospel presentation. So praise the Lord for that. Pray that it will do its intended work. And I know there's some of her family that do need the Christ, so. Yes?
I have a cousin that around my age that is struggling with drug addiction and been in and out of the hospital and rehab now 3 times, I think. So, and he is not saved, so please just pray for that for him.
Okay, Jenny's cousin. Struggling with a drug addiction. So. Anyone else? Still keeping Josh and Angela in prayer? I didn't know if it was that out in the open, so it was just mentioned last.
I'm not sure how many people know either.
They're not wanting the kids to know because they don't want to get back to school until it's kind of finalized as far as he
We'll keep it just between us adults then. Remember Josh and Angela as they, so praise the Lord that, the employment situation is taken care of, but they do need to find a place to live, so. Thank you. June 1st, is that still the?
I think it's June
15th. Oh, okay. That's a little better. Thought June 1st seemed awful quick. Anybody else?
I'm still praying for my leg. It's better, but still not good.
Rain.
Yeah, rain.
You got rain, Iowa?
I know. It rained hard out there. My daughter sent us a picture. She lives at Independence. That they finally got a really good shower. So I guess they're thankful for that for them. But it kind of... Doug Hetty said it did an atypical deal, something that it doesn't do usually until like late summer. It went southeast to northwest, so, which is not usually very typical for this time of year. So maybe it'll start east of us tomorrow and go that way, so maybe we'll be able to get that. So. And you remember the Mosses this week. It's a family of the week. Remember Jerry and his health. Just their family as a whole. All right, if nothing else, nobody has anything else, going, gone, we'll break up and pray and be dismissed. Thank you.